League Leadership Podcast, episode 66.
This is the Lean Leadership Podcast. Equip yourself with the tools for success in your team's lean journey by learning from the world's top lean professionals. Listen at the risk of improving with your host, Chris Burnham.
Today's guest is DeAndre Wardell. A visionary leader, entrepreneur, coach, and speaker, DeAndre specializes in empowering individuals and corporate groups through strategic visioning to achieve goals and sustain transformative change. DeAndre launched Onto the Next One Consulting LLC to serve as a strategic partner, cultural change agent, and operational expert for her clients. She works alongside with business partners to assess, prioritize, and address operational challenges. Her services range from facilitating strategy and alignment workshops to coaching leaders on diversity, equity, and inclusion principles, educating teams on the tenets of Lean and the Toyota Way, and creating affinity and employee resource groups, all designed to help partners meet short and long-term business goals. DeAndre's vision is to help organizations and groups and individuals overcome obstacles to achieve their greatest visions and goals one step at a time. Here's our guest, DeAndre Wardell. DeAndre, we briefly touched on who you were in the intro, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how Lean, continuous improvement, is a part of your life?
Absolutely. So, Chris, Lean and continuous improvement, it is connected with every aspect of my life. I have been, when I think back to my childhood, even I was applying Lean then and didn't realize it. But formally, I've been practicing Lean for a little over 30 years. Throughout my professional career in operations management, when I was in human resources, and of course in different positions where I was in lean leadership positions. More recently, I've become a consultant, and I get to practice continuous improvement full time, working with companies, working with individuals, coaching them to accomplish their goals using Lean. And one of the things I'm most excited about, or an area where I enjoy practicing Lean the most, is applying Lean to diversity, equity, and inclusion strategies.
Well, we talked a little bit about that in our pre-show conversation, so I'm really excited for listeners to hear about the work that you're doing, especially around root cause racism and DEI, and I think that you're going to add a lot of value to folks today as they listen. Before we get started in the interview, though, we always ask our guests to share with us a quote or a mantra from one of their favorite leaders. So can you share with us what your quote is and why you chose it?
Sure. So I actually have two quotes and I wrestle with which one to pick. And so I'll share them both briefly. One is from Oprah Winfrey. And this quote means so much to me, partially because I'm a huge Oprah Winfrey fan. And then some of our Lean colleagues have started referring to me as the Oprah Winfrey of Lean. But with the work that I do with strategic visioning, her quote just pretty much nails what that work is about. And she says, create the highest, grandest vision possible for your life because you become what you believe. And then my second favorite quote undergirds everything I do, all of the work I do around continuous improvement. And it comes from Taichi Ono. And he said, the Toyota style is not to create results by working hard. It is a system that says there is no limit to people's creativity. People don't go to Toyota to work. They go there to think. And, you know, between those two quotes, it focuses on how, you know, the power that's within the individual, the power that people have when they lean into their creativity, how they can impact change. And so that's why I had a hard time picking one quote, because I felt both of those are important.
Yeah, I don't see how you leave one of those out. That's great. And I could just see someone writing those two quotes down and reading those every morning and just feeling empowered to go out and create great change in the world. Those are great quotes. I appreciate you sharing those with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, DeAndre, one of my goals for this podcast is to help other lean leaders resonate with what your experiences are. So can you share us a little bit about why you chose to go the path of lean and continuous improvement and how you ended up to where you are now?
Sure. So, you know, the path to lean and continuous improvement, I believe that fundamentally we all have a little bit of a lean practitioner within us. We may not know the exact terminology, but everyone has that desire to improve upon what they're doing and to see if there's, you know, potentially another way to do things that can get the most optimal results and to drive efficiency. And so early on in my career, I was introduced to continuous improvement and lean through learning about 5S. And as the practitioner was teaching us about 5S, I was like, this seems really familiar. These are things that I learned in my home from my parents when I was growing up. And it just seems, you know, it's become a way of life. It's become a way of doing, always looking to how to continuously improve, realizing that we never arrive. There's always an opportunity to learn and grow. And so as a result of some of those in the introductory phase, when I was first learning about the foundational components of lean, it just sparked so much curiosity. It made sense. And it's something that I just wanted to continue to practice and continue to learn and to teach others so that they too could benefit from, you know, having a lean lifestyle.
That's great. I mean, whenever I think about 5S, I had a similar experience, and my mentor who was teaching me at the time, you know, I was asking all these technical questions and he stops. He goes, "When you make a bowl of cereal in your house, does anybody show you how to do it, or do you just know where to go and how to do things?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "All right, now go to your mother's house. Do you know how to do that?" It's like, "Yeah, I know. I grew up in that house." He goes, "Go to my house. Would you know how to do that?" I'm like, "No, I've never been in your kitchen. I don't know where things belong. I don't know where things are. I don't know where to put things when I'm done." He goes, "Exactly. That's what we're trying to do here, is that everybody understands naturally as an extension of their behavior where things belong, where they go, where do I get things, and how do I spot if I have a problem?" Like, so if you open the pantry and you don't see cereal there, stop. Like, you don't go and get the milk out and set it out and all the other stuff. You just stop. That's your and-on cord that you have with your process. So I love the fact that lean and continuous improvement started with a 5S with you. That's not where it has to start for everybody, but it's an easy way for that people can relate to in their homes. So you've had a lot of success with what you've done. I know that people are familiar with the work, maybe familiar with the work that you have out in with Lean Frontiers, and also that all the great posts you put on LinkedIn. But there has to be a moment where things didn't work out exactly as you would have liked. And can you share with us a story with what you consider maybe your biggest career setback with lean or continuous improvement, and any pitfalls or mistakes that you learned along the way?
Oh my goodness. Yes. There are many. And when I look at them now, those pitfalls were some of the best opportunities for learning. And one particular experience that stands out, this took place when I was responsible. I had global lean responsibilities. And I remember with working with my team and setting the strategy of how it is we were going to practice lean throughout the organization, the biggest issue or the biggest setback that we had, and it was from my direction and leadership, is that we did not take the time to make sure that the different continuous improvement projects that were being selected aligned with the strategy of the organization. We were concentrated on teaching tools and looking for waste. And as a result of that, it created quite a bit of rework among the continuous improvement team, even, and frustration, because it seemed like the projects that we were, and I had a team of black belts, and the projects that we were focusing on, we couldn't get them over the finish line. They seemed to lag and drag out. And one time we just decided, you know, let's go back. Let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to square one. Let's go back to the starting point. And one of the major misses that we had is we did not take the time to engage senior management and getting a clear vision of what were the priorities for the organization. what was included in the strategic plan? What were the main priorities? What was important to the customer? And then making sure that those strategic goals aligned and cascaded through all the departments and the divisions and the facilities that we supported. And once we had that alignment, and then focusing on one small project at a time, you know, not looking at boiling the ocean, but we had that clear overarching vision of what it is we were trying to work toward, and then applying what we knew about continuous improvement and engaging the operators, those who are closest to the process, and working on it one step at a time. But the, like I said, the major takeaway from that was it was so important to make sure that, you know, we listened to the voice of leadership, understanding what the ultimate goals and what was most important to the organization.
You know, I think that oftentimes we run into situations where continuous improvement professionals, we think in terms of lean problems and lean opportunities to apply tools or to understand or root cause the different aspects of a problem. And we think in terms of lean problems, but then we have to turn around and communicate with our business leaders, mm-hmm. and they speak about business problems. And those, there's a small little disconnect there that it's not wild. It's just enough to where it can throw things off base. And that sounds kind of like that's what was happening there.
And it was. And, you know, going back to the conversation that you were sharing earlier about, or the analogy about, you know, preparing a bowl of cereal, you know, asking one question, taking one step and figuring out when you hit a roadblock, and then figuring out what you need to do beyond that. The same applied with the conversations with senior leadership. I remember I had a call with the CEO, and I asked a simple question: what keeps you up at night? What I envisioned was important, and what might kept him up at night was what our team had been working on in terms of identifying and then attacking waste. But the things that were keeping him up at night were more heavily customer focused, and wasn't necessarily about the bottom line. It was engaging the employees and making sure that the customers were satisfied. And when we had that conversation, things began to click. And from that, we determined that we needed to do a strategy and alignment workshop between senior leadership and our continuous improvement team to make sure we were aligned and we identified the top priorities of what we wanted to work on quarter by quarter.
That's a really powerful tool. And it starts with a conversation, but when you start to document those things, and then you're able to take your improvement initiatives and align those to those, it's a lot more powerful. You get a lot more buy-in from everyone from the value chain of at the CEO level, all the way to the person that's delivering the good to the customer. I also love the concept of understanding your constituencies, because you were thinking in terms of just the constituency of the employee, but the CEO is thinking about delighted customers, happy shareholders if it's a public company. Yes. And you have to make sure that you don't sacrifice the satisfaction of one of those for the benefit of another, that the three of those have to work in harmony.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we've talked about this in some of our previous conversations, and I know I post about this, but, you know, the definition of customer, the customer is internal and external. So yes, it is the end user who is receiving whatever product or service that a company or organization is producing. But, you know, we also have those internal customers. It's the employees. And employees includes, you know, those who are on the front line, those who are middle management, those who are in senior management. It's everyone who's working within the organization. And then the shareholders as well. And even, you know, the board of trustees. And you have to look at where opportunities are from all of those different lenses and ensure that there is alignment so that you know what it is that you need to concentrate your energy and effort on and working towards.
Well, Deandra, I know that anyone who's been doing this type of work for 30 years and then moves on into consulting to expand their influence in other places has to have a moment that was like an aha moment for you in your journey that said, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. What was your aha moment with Lean and Continuous Improvement?
You know, my aha moment came, oddly enough, throughout my professional career. One of the things that I've always done, I've always done volunteer work. I've always worked with community and different nonprofit organizations, introducing them to Lean. And then, you know, the other thing that I've enjoyed doing more recently in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years is what I call strategic vision board workshops. And from those workshops where, you know, I work with individuals and we create vision boards, looking at, you know, connecting them to their purpose and identifying what it is they want to accomplish, and then applying continuous improvement to accomplish those goals. As a result of working with individuals and in doing these strategic vision board workshops, a light bulb came on that was like, you're pretty much the work you're doing in these workshops is the same type of work you've been doing in these strategy and alignment workshops with, you know, members of the C-suite. There is an opportunity to do more of this in a broader way to be able to have a bigger impact. And so I would say it was from those workshops that opened my eyes to, I can take Lean on the road, so to speak, and use whatever opportunity, you know, with whatever organization, whatever community, youth groups, businesses, what have you, to show the connection between whatever it is that they're ultimately trying to accomplish, whatever that's keeping them up at night, whatever it is that they're excited about accomplishing, to come up with a plan and to start out with one step, what's the smallest step they can take, and then to continue to improve upon that. And that's actually how I came up with the name of my consulting firm, On to the Next One Consulting, because it's about, you know, identifying a big grand dream that you want to accomplish, but stepping back and looking at what is the first small step you can take, and then applying continuous improvement and continually moving on to the next step to accomplish those big goals.
I had a mentor in my career that I asked him, you know, when I have all of these things that I have to do, how do I, which one do I do first? And he goes, just take the next right one. Like, just pick the mm-hmm. next one. He goes, eventually you're gonna have to get to them all. So don't worry about shuffling the order of them. He goes, just do the next one. And I think that mm-hmm. that's, a lot of people get stymied with that in their lean and continuous journey because they think that they have to have some grand strategic vision where they have a roadmap of 3 or 4 years. But the reality of it is that you have customers that are upset right now. You have waste in your system, and you have employees that are desperate for you to engage with them on how to improve the environment that they work on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you have a lean or continuous improvement pet peeve or something you frequently be seeing applied or done wrong?
Oh my goodness, yes. And it just makes my skin crawl. My biggest pet peeve. Are you ready for it, Chris?
I am.
Is when there are environments and places where lean, continuous improvement, lean Six Sigma is practiced. And there is this mindset that only a certain group of people can learn and practice lean. That, and I'm, you know, not knocking any of us who are have certifications and belts or anything like that. But like I said at the beginning, continuous improvement, I believe, is something that we all have within us, the opportunity to find ways to drive efficiencies and do things better, and that creativity that we all have. So anytime there is an environment where people believe that unless you have a certification, there's no way you can improve a process or find a way to do things better, that's absolutely false.
I think the challenging thing is, we talked about this in our pre-call, is that the folks that think they're the experts don't realize that the true expert in a process is a person that does it every day. They understand the work and have a deep knowledge, and they've seen what's gone wrong. They've seen what's gone right, and they will tell you, they will gladly share with you what the opportunity is for improvement.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing about it. Those who are closest to the work often have the best ideas for improvement. And sometimes, like if we go out on a manufacturing line and we see where an operator has used duct tape, or they may have paper clipped some things together to make things work. Well, that's not because they're trying to take a shortcut or they're not trying to follow the procedure. Something has happened. Something is broken. And they're using, you know, their creative ways to try to fix it. And it's also that's also a visual indicator that something's broken with communication, you know? And so just like you said, oftentimes those who are closest to the process, this is something that they do often. They have some of the greatest ideas. And on the flip side of that, those who are furthest away from the process, sometimes that fresh set of eyes to come in and ask questions. So it's so important that, you know, there is a cross collaboration among different functions and departments when we are looking at opportunities for improvement, that, you know, you listen to the people and hear what they have to say and determine what's the next one small thing we can do and how can we work on that together.
I think it's powerful having someone outside of the group on a Kaizen or an improvement event just simply to ask you, why do you do it that way? Mm-hmm. And the looks that everybody gives one another when that question's asked is, we've never thought about that. But that's exactly what a different viewpoint helps out with.
Mm-hmm. And you know some of the best people to have in those type of events? People from finance. Because, you know, they, you know, that's been my experience. No matter if we're working on a solution in manufacturing, having someone that's totally foreign to what may be taking place in the operation can come in with that fresh set of eyes and just ask, well, have we ever considered this or why do we do it that way? And it just sparks a lot of good conversation and brainstorming.
Well, Deandra, what do you consider the most important thing that you've learned in your career journey so far?
The most important thing that I've learned is alignment and communication are key. You know, just being really clear with ultimately, you know, what it is we're trying to accomplish, what it is we're trying to do, and make sure that there is solid communication throughout the organization so that people aren't in the fog or left behind or in the dark about what's going on. That they understand and see how they're connected to the process, how they understand the work that they do affects what's going on downstream, and how the work that's come to them, how that's connected upstream. So I just think that alignment is so important. And then communication. Those are two things that I've learned over the course of time that are extremely critical to this work that we do.
Great answer. Deandra, there's someone listening to this podcast right now that's maybe starting out on their lean or continuous improvement journey. What piece of advice would you give to that person right now as they start their journey? What do you wish someone would have told you when you first started out?
Oh, goodness. Well, what the best advice I would give someone, or I'm giving someone, and I often have to remind myself of this, is that it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to say, I don't know, to maintain that spirit of curiosity and that mindset that, you know, we're a constant learner. There's always so much that we can learn. And when we come to that point of saying, I don't know, that's an opportunity to get excited because that's something we can go and learn. And even, you know, in the lean role, often, you know, when we are facilitators and we're leading someone through an event, of course, we want to be prepared. We want to have great resources. We want it to be a great experience for all. But it's important to be authentic and true and honest. And when it comes to that point where a question is asked, knowing it's okay to say, I don't know, and I'll get back with you because it's an opportunity for everyone to learn. The other thing that is so important, especially for lean practitioners, regardless of where you are in the journey, is to have a good support system and realize that we're not on this journey alone. And that ties back to what I was saying earlier about it's okay to say, I don't know. Because, you know, of course, there's great books, there's all kind of articles, there are great podcasts like yours that are available. But, you know, to have that network that we can lean on and go to when we have questions, and that helps with that that development, growth, and continual learning.
I have a network that I still tap into, even though mm-hmm. I'm not working with these folks anymore. I'll say, hey, can I run something by you? I'm struggling mm-hmm. with this, or mm-hmm. I'm thinking about this. What are your thoughts? Having someone who you have trust with, but also someone who maybe has a divergent view of the world than you do, to say, well, you're not thinking about this right, or I thought about it this way, to kind of improve your thinking to be able to help others. But to tackle on that with lean and continuous improvement, you don't have to have all the answers, but it is helpful to have really good questions. And when someone asks you a question, respond back with curiosity. So they say, well, can we do this? Yes, but why? Help me understand, right? Or is this important? Well, I'm not sure, but why do you ask? Those types of questions really help develop that deep understanding that's necessary with process improvement.
Absolutely.
Well, what piece of advice would you give to the journeyman professional, someone who's further along in their lean or continuous improvement career? Maybe even something one of your peers shared with you recently?
You know, someone who's further along in the journey, it kind of goes back to what you were just talking about. That spirit of curiosity is really explore what's next. You know, how can you, have a greater impact? How can you reach more people and introducing them to lean? One of my favorite questions that I often ask myself comes from Mike Rother's work with the Toyota Kata. Wouldn't it be great? So wouldn't it be great if fill in the blank? And, you know, if someone who's more advanced or further along in their lean journey, take some time to reflect, look at, you know, what it is you've accomplished and look at what it is that you aspire to achieve, and then take it to the next level and ask, wouldn't it be great? And then, you know, go back into your tool bag, your toolkit, and you know, lean on your network to figure out what that next wouldn't it be great is, and start making a step towards achieving it.
I love wouldn't it be great. I have a coworker that his favorite line is, let's pretend. And what that does is it allows you to think beyond what you're thinking right now and put you in that mode of creativity and thinking. But it also, it's kind of a test of, let's pretend if we do this, what do we think will happen? Mm-hmm. And then when they say, well, I don't think that's, let's go try. Right. So it helps encourage that spirit of experimentation.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, that scientific thinking or having that scientific mindset is all about. You formulate a hypothesis, you know, you make a prediction, and then you run an experiment and you see if what you predicted took place. And regardless of the outcome, either you're going to achieve or accomplish what it is you expected, or you won't. And either way, you're learning something new, and it's something they continue to build upon and improve upon. And then you continue asking that question, you continue to make those predictions, and the cycle continues.
I love Mike Rother's work. I think it should be required reading for anybody who is in a position to help others. It's a simple format that's elegant, that it's not the power of the questions, it's the power of the pattern. It's it's feeling comfortable, and it develops mastery at the frontline level. It allows you to empower individuals.
Absolutely.
Well, do you have a favorite book, author, or mentor that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, we were just talking about him. So it's Mike Rother, and he is the author of the Toyota Kata. But my favorite book authored by Mike is the Toyota Kata Practice Guide. And it's one of my favorite books because, you know, just like what you were talking about and how it helps you to develop mastery, and especially in practicing continuous improvement in such a simple yet effective way. I refer to it, it's like the training wheels of practicing scientific thinking, because it gives you this pattern to follow. And as you follow the pattern, and you know, what he refers to as the starter kata, you know, these fundamental aspects of practicing scientific thinking, you know, before you realize it, it becomes habit and it begins to transcend into your personal life. You will find yourself in your kitchen asking, you know, wouldn't it be great, instead of the cereal being on this top shelf, that it's within my range of motion and I have it on this shelf to where it's frequently used. So I would say, you know, Rother has a great body of work. There's a lot of good books that he has out there. But again, my favorite is a Toyota Kata practice guide.
I love how you use the analogy of training wheels. And that I have, my children are big now, but when they were small, they were desperate to take the training wheels off, and having a coach that was there to say, no, you're not ready. Let's keep them on for a bit. And then just as a natural extension of the process of knowing when to take those training wheels off, because now they had a pattern of behavior. They had a pattern of thought. It was natural for what they were doing.
Absolutely. And that's part of, you know, what makes Rother's work so brilliant is that it starts out with those practicing those patterns. But of course, he doesn't encourage us to stay with the starter kata, you know, but practicing the four steps of the improvement kata, we eventually get to the point where we make it our own and where, you know, organizations can fashion it and tailor it to what it is that they need. But early on and learning how to practice that scientific thinking and way of doing, having that improvement kata, coaching kata, training wheels, as we're working with our learners as a coach and learner, it's really helpful to have that information to guide us along through the process.
Great book. I'll put a link to that in the show notes page for people that are listening. DeAndre, you and I both know that magic wands don't exist, but that if they did, what would you wave a magic wand at first with a facility or organization that you're working with?
You know, goodness, wouldn't it be great if there were magic wands? And I love
wouldn't
that question.
Yeah.
Yes, wouldn't it be great? And that is a question that I ask oftentimes when working with companies. I ask, what's keeping you up at night? And, you know, if I had a magic wand, and of course, wouldn't it be great? But if I had a magic wand, what I would go in and immediately say, poof, be gone, is issues with communication, where people are simply not in the know, or they don't have the most current or accurate information, and people are left to make assumptions and guess about what's going on. And you see that quite a bit, where there are silos or people just are unclear what goes on outside of their scope of work. And as a matter of fact, you know, in my past life and in one of my roles, when I was a global continuous improvement director, whenever I would go into the facility, you know, one of the first things I would want to do is I would want to go to the floor and talk with the operators. And I would ask, if I had a magic wand, you know, what would you like for me to instantly fix? And people make the assumption that people would say, I'd want a raise or a promotion. But all the time, it was something related to communication, either how they needed a response to something or they wish they had more information. So if I had a magic wand, that is something that I would, you know, immediately address and in whatever organization I was working with.
You know, when you're sitting there talking about it, I know the magic wand doesn't exist, but there is a magic wand for employee relations. And that's, you know, that's job relations. That's TWIJR. And mm-hmm. that gives those questions. And it talks about a lot of the same things that you're talking about letting each person know how he or she is doing, mm-hmm. giving them credit when credit is due, talking about something that's hot, like happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most important piece of that is helping people know about change that's going to affect them. Even more importantly, change over which they have no power or control, but making them aware so they can prepare themselves for the change.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's the other thing too, is that, you know, people become nervous about change when it's not, when the why is not explained, when they don't understand mm-hmm. how it's connected to the purpose, and when it feels like it's something being done to them that they're not involved in and it's sprung on them. And sometimes things happen where, you know, we can't have a really long formal communication plan. But as best as possible, it's so important to keep the lines of communication open, especially now that we're in either a hybrid environment or primarily virtual. We just don't want to assume that people should know what they need to know. As leaders, and especially as continuous improvement practitioners, you know, we want to make sure that the lines of communication are open and that it's two-way communication.
DeAndre, I'm going to switch gears on us a little bit here because this is not on the script, but we talked about it in our pre-call, and I want to talk about the work that you're doing with lean continuous improvement as it affects diversity, equity, and inclusion. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That work is so important to me. It's always been important to me because at the heart of that work, it's one word, inclusion. And when people feel like their voices are heard, that they are given or provided opportunities to be successful, where they can do their work without issue, and where they can be their true self, where they don't feel like they have to hide any aspect of who they are, that is when that creativity pops like popcorn throughout the organization. And so what's really important for me is that we move beyond, you know, the diversity, equity, and inclusion statements that are so well-crafted and beautifully written that we see on our websites, and really taking what's in those statements and incorporating it and infusing it in our management operating system and making it a part of the daily work and everything that we do. And, you know, and being able to sustain that work and looking for ways to constantly improve it. And that's why, you know, that's part of the reason why hashtag Root Cause Racism was born. And it started out as a blog series and a webinar with myself and other people in the continuous improvement community. But at the heart of it all, what I wanted people to realize is that, you know, racism is ugly, and it's been around for a while. And but just because and it's something complex, no one feels comfortable talking about race. That's a muscle we have not practiced, you know, even as a Black woman. In the workplace, you know, I would historically, you know, bringing up matters about race, I would not have done that. But with the different events that happened in 2020 with, you know, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, you know, it was a wake up call for everyone that we have to be more intentional about creating environments where people are safe, where people are successful, and where people are included and can live their best lives. And so at the heart of Root Cause Racism, it's about looking at continuous improvement. What we teach every day about when we have problems or when we have these big goals that we're trying to achieve, well, let's involve others. You know, although we don't have all the answers, let's use this systematic approach, this scientific thinking, this scientific mindset, and apply it to our working environments, to where people feel like, you know, it is safe for me to come to work. It is safe for me to speak up in a meeting. It is safe for me to give this idea and not worry about any backlash because of the color of their skin, or any abilities that they may have, or, you know, whether or not they're in the LGBTQIA plus community, that people can bring their whole selves to work and they're able to be successful. And the system, the policies and procedures in place reinforce that environment of inclusion.
Well, I know that we were talking in our pre-chat about when you had the panel and you were inviting folks, and there were folks that said, I don't feel comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. And I know I can relate to that because me personally, it's difficult for a light-skinned male to engage in a conversation about DEI with credibility. And what would you tell folks like me that when we want to engage, but we probably don't feel comfortable doing that?
Okay. So I'm just going to be direct, open, and honest. I had a quality manager who was a colleague years ago. He had a quote, I always used it. I'm just going to put the skunk on the porch. Okay. What stinks? Let's just put it out there and address it. You know, at the beginning of the Root Cause Racism series, when I was looking for participants, you know, I had invited some white women to participate. And one of my colleagues who I adore and respect, we're very close friends, at that time said to me, DeAndra, I'm a white woman. I don't feel like I would be taken seriously. Is this something I really should be talking about? And I said to her, racism, you know, does not only affect Black and brown people. Racism harms everyone. And this is a very complex, deeply rooted issue that's embedded in systems. And so in order to dismantle structural racism, it's going to take all hands on deck. And who feels comfortable, you know, talking about this? You know, even as a Black woman, there are times, there are, you know, I'm not an expert. There are things I don't know, but it's important enough to me. It's important enough that I do what I can so that my great nephew, Baby Jay, who I talk about, and his image is on some of our Root Cause Racism content, because he is my inspiration. I want to do everything that I can to create a world so that, you know, when he goes to college and when he's in his first job, he does not have to worry about being held back by the color of his skin. And so, and that's not something, that's big work. That's not something I can do on my own. That's not something that only Black and brown people can do. It's something that we all will have to get in and get involved with. And so that colleague that I was mentioning earlier, since that first blog series, she has thanked me. What she has said is that it kind of pulled her off the sidelines, and she is heavily involved. She is one of our greatest allies, not only in the continuous improvement space, but is making a global impact. And it just started with, you know, writing that one blog. And that's the other part of the whole Root Cause Racism movement. It's not having to have all the answers, but just starting out with one small thing and building upon it from there, and then moving on to the next one.
I love that. I think in order for us to move forward on this, we all have to feel uncomfortable together. Mm-hmm. And doing nothing is not an option. We have to engage in the conversation. So this is not one of those things that you can stand on the sideline and say, I'm going to see how that works out. Like, you need to get involved. You need to be a part of it.
Absolutely. So,
Deandra, I'm grateful for the work that you do, and I want to be able to share that with other folks. I know you have some exciting projects coming up. Can you share with us some of the things that you're working on?
Yes. So I'm so excited. There are four projects that are coming up, all near and dear to my heart, and all are, you know, connected to what we've been talking about today, is sparking that creativity within others and leaning into continuous improvement. So the first thing that's coming up is January 5th through the 7th. And it's called the Resourced Retreat. And so that is a retreat for women in business. It's being facilitated by my fellow continuous improvement coaches, Amy Mervak and Dorsey Sherman. And it's an opportunity at the beginning of the year for women in business to reflect, reconnect, and refocus, and look at what it is that we want to accomplish. Not only just in the new year, but our short-term and long-term goals. So I'm really excited about that. And then coming up in the month of February, speaking of hashtag Root Cause Racism, I will be offering workshops and webinars showing people in the community and in different companies and organizations how continuous improvement can be applied to doing the work of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. So again, that's moving from, you know, statements on the website to actual, you know, changes and sustainment within the management operating system of advancing the work of DEI. Also, I'm excited because coming up in March 17th through 18th, with our good friends at Lean Frontiers, I will be one of the co-hosts for CottaCon 8. So I'm so excited about that. We're planning to be in person. So woohoo! Just excited about CottaCon. And then coming up in July, registration is opening now. Lean Frontiers is offering the Lean Coaching Summit, and the theme is Have a Coach, Be a Coach. And so I'm really excited about that. I'll be presenting at that. As a matter of fact, Tracy Defoe, who is my first Kata coach, we're collaborating on a special surprise. And so really looking forward to that. So those are some of the main things that are coming up here.
Yeah, I think any surprise that you and Tracy are involved in is a special surprise, by the way. So I'm excited about that. And for folks that are curious, Amy Mervak was a guest on the podcast previously. So definitely go check out her episode, as well as we're going to have links to everything that Deandra just talked about in the podcast here on the show notes page. Deandra, if people want to connect with you about a question that they have about something we talked about today, or if they want to learn more about your business and the impact you're making in the world, how can they connect with you?
Okay, it's simple. Look for my name, Deondra Wardell. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. So that's Deondra, D-E-O-N-D-R-A, Wardell, W-A-R-D-E-L-L-E. And you can connect with me through my website. That is www.deondrawardell.com.
Deondra, thank you for being a guest on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your experiences with our podcast audience. And I hope we can have you back again.
Absolutely. And thank you again for having me as a guest. I always enjoy any opportunity I have to talk with you. I learned so much from following you and your work. So thank you for having me today.
I'm humbled and honored. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
I want to thank Deondra for being a guest on the podcast today. I got a lot out of our conversation, and I hope that you did as well. What I love about Deondra is her passion for the hashtag Root Cause Racism movement, which is a global initiative to end systemic racism and advance social justice. If you have any questions about what we talked about today, or if you want to reach out to Deondra, be sure to go to the show notes page at leanleadershippodcast.com. Click on the links and find out more information. Also, I'm always looking to improve the podcast. So if you have any feedback, please go to podchaser.com/leanleadershippodcast. Leave a review or some feedback for the podcast on how we can improve. Until next time, seek progress over perfection.
Thanks for listening to the Lean Leadership Podcast with Chris Burnham. Get more info, resources, tools, or connect at leanleadershippodcast.com.